Greetings to you in Christ Jesus our Lord. This seminar is being brought to you by International Biblical Training in Chattanooga, Tennessee. This is the fourth in a series of seminars on different religions of the world. The first covered the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormon Church. The second seminar covered the Church of Christ Scientists, or Christian Science. The third covered Jehovah's Witnesses. And this fourth seminar covers the Church of Scientology. The fifth seminar will cover the religion of Islam. The purpose of these seminars is to teach Christians about various other religions that are out there outside of Christianity and how they differ from the Christian faith. Some differ more than others, but I feel that you will find that Scientology probably differs from Christianity more than any of the others. Some of the things that I will share in this seminar may seem very strange to you and may seem almost to be as if they are being made up by someone. However, this religion is a very popular religion in the world right now and has captured the attention of some very famous people as well. So it's important for us as Christians to be educated in what Scientology teaches so that we can lovingly and competently answer questions and engage in discussion with regard to the differences between Scientology and Christianity. Various religions start for various reasons. Scientology was incorporated in 1953. It was founded by L. Ron Hubbard. The L stands for Lafayette. Before starting Scientology, he was a successful science fiction writer. He was well-traveled and well-educated. The basic premise of the religion is that all of us are made up of spirit. They use the Greek word for spirit, thetan, that is T-H-E-T-A-N. Thus, we are all thetan, or spirit, and we are designed to live a good life. Who designed us and when that happened is something that Scientology really never addresses nor sees as important. However, Scientology teaches that we have been alive before this life and will continue to live past this life into future lives. Scientology claims that as humans, we are all basically good, and the basic and driving force in all people is the singular force of survival. Survival is what we are all trying to achieve in this life and in our lives to come. So the goal of Scientology is to assist us to survive at the highest levels of our existence in this life, as well as to get back to the existence we once had in previous lives before various things impinged on that wonderful state of existence that Scientology says we were in before we took on human form. According to Scientology, our thetan, or spirit, has become damaged along the way, both in previous lives and in this life. We have been traumatized by various things, Scientology tells us. Scientology calls those traumas that have happened to us engrams, that is E-N-G-R-A-M-S, engrams. And Scientology claims that we must discover which engrams have happened to us if we are to be free of them. Moreover, since we have had various previous lives, we have lots and lots of incidences of damage or engrams to deal with and to get rid of in our lives. A basic premise which the church teaches is that we have two different sides of how we deal with things. We have a logical side and a reactive side. The logical side is how we handle most things and deal with most situations. However, our reactive side is the side of us that has been storing all the bad things that have happened to us, all those engrams over our lifetimes. It's this reactive side where all the bad stuff is stored up that trips us up and gets us in trouble. When something happens to us that is similar to or brings one of those bad things back up again to us, our reactive side just takes over without much logic and we make bad choices based on what our reactive side tells us to do. So the goal of Scientology is through various techniques to discover, face, and get rid of all the engrams, all the traumas, all the bad stuff that is stored in our reactive side. Once those engrams are gone, one reaches what Scientology calls a state of, quote, clear, end quote. That's C-L-E-A-R, clear. Clear allows us to be a much better person. Once we have become, as they say, a clear, we are free of engrams, which otherwise make us make poor choices. We can progress along our spiritual journey only after the engrams are out of the way, and once they are, we can reach much higher levels of existence both in this life and in the lives we have to come. A clear is someone who has rid themselves of their accumulated engrams, which is the source of their issues in this life. A clear is said to have a very high degree of personal integrity and honesty, and is supposed to be living proof that people are basically good. For a clear, one's own original thetan or spirit is now free and clear from all the engram damage, and his or her real personality has returned, and he is free to begin his journey of being what is called an OT, or an operating thetan. Then they can progress through the different operating thetan levels until he or she reaches level 8, operating thetan level 8. So at the moment, we who are outside of the religion of Scientology are said to be in a pre-clear state, and we should all do everything we can to get to a state of being a clear. Once the state of clear is reached, we can then progress through the 8 different levels of being what is called an operating thetan. Being an operating thetan allows one to begin to be free from the issues brought to us by matter, energy, space, and time, all of which can cause people to make poor choices and live very unsuccessful lives. As one achieves progress through the different levels of being an operating thetan, they learn how to control their lives more as well as their circumstances. According to Scientology, matter, energy, space, and time are all negative things that we have been deceived into buying into because of the engrams that have happened to us. They are things that limit our freedom as a thetan. Once we become a clear, we can then move through the different levels I mentioned before to operating thetan level 8. These levels are learned by taking specific courses which cost significant money in the Church of Scientology and must be passed to go on to the next level. If a person fails to pass a course for some reason, additional counseling is suggested and sometimes pretty much demanded of a member to get them where they are expected to be spiritually. This can be very costly from a financial point of view. It also can be costly from an emotional point of view, as we'll see later. If you fail a course, you may also be pressured to take the course again and to pay for the course again. So let's talk a bit about how one gets to the state of clear and becomes ready to start the journey through the 8 levels of being an operating thetan, level 8 being the highest, and it is called Truth Revealed. Here's how it's done. If you are a person who has joined the Church of Scientology, one of the things that you should get about doing is getting rid of these engrams. Well, you have to identify what the engrams are first, and the way that happens is that you sit down with a person who is an official auditor of the church. As you sit down with the auditor, what you are going to do is start to tell that person a lot about your history and your life. Before you do that, though, you'll see a machine there on a table or a desk that will be close to where you are sitting. That machine is called an electropsychrometer, and it was invented by L. Ron Hubbard himself. The auditor will hand you 2 cylinders about the size of an orange juice can. They're silver in color and solid, and they have wires coming out of them that are connected to the machine, the electropsychrometer, or for short, the E-meter. As you speak with the auditor and tell the auditor your life story, you are to hold these two cylinders, one in each hand. The point of the machine is that when you come to something in your life that is an issue that could possibly be a part of your life where something happened that would be an issue, something that produced an engram in your life that is blocking you from being all you should be, the e-meter will register that on some needles and the auditor will be able to say to you, wait a second, we've reached something here that is a probable engram. Let's talk about this a little bit further. Once the machine indicates that an engram has been located, then you are to talk about that further and then either deny it or repent of it. And when you do that, you have conquered it and it is then removed from your life according to what Scientology teaches. It therefore should have nothing further to do with blocking anything in your life in the present time. According to Scientology, once a person recognizes what an engram is, they can be free of it. E-meters have been tested by science, and science has never found them to be able to do what Scientology says that they actually do. Therefore, there is a distinct difference between what the Church of Scientology claims these machines do and the scientific world claims they do. The basic textbook of Scientology is L. Ron Hubbard's book called Dianetics. In it, the technology of Scientology is put forth. There are many other articles and writings by Hubbard which address various issues and things that have to do with Scientology, yet the book lays out what is possible according to the church. Once a person has read the book and has gone through the auditing sessions to identify the engrams that they have had in their previous and current lives and have gotten rid of them, then a person can progress back to be the free spirit or Thetan he or she originally was before being messed up along the way by all the engrams that have come in to their life. Hubbard states that, quote, "The ultimate truth is a static. A static has no mass, meaning, mobility, no wavelength, no time, no location in space, no space. This has the technical name of basic truth." End quote. A spirit or Thetan, then, in its best form of all, would be a static. All of us were once Thetans in a static state, according to Scientology. Yet for reasons, various reasons, Thetans fell from that perfect state and started to become less and less ultimate truth. Although they were still basically good, they bought into things which were bad for them. For instance, they started to feel that bodies and matter are a good thing, and they were deceived by that and deluded into getting involved with matter to the point where they became trapped by matter and therefore trapped inside a body, a physical body. So your spirit, or the Thetan you once were, was a static. Yet somehow you fell from that state and were foolish enough to allow matter, energy, space, and time to trap you into living in a physical body. Then all the engrams happened along the way in all your previous lives, and you are now a mess that Scientology waits to clean up. So all of us who have bodies are really free spirits who were at one time in the state of static and ultimate truth, but who have gotten away from that state and become trapped in bodies and in the physical universe. The first state of ultimate truth, or of static, is what we are trying to get back to now through Scientology. If we therefore progress first to the state of clear, we can then go further to the 8 levels of being an operating Thetan and actually be able to escape the limitations of the physical universe and our bodies. We then will go on to live our future lives unencumbered by our past Thetans, delusions, and issues, etc. At this point in the seminar, we're going to take a look at some of the things that Scientology says about basics of faith, like God, sin, creation, and salvation. Some of the things that really are part of that church, but seem to be very different than what you would normally see in a normal Christian church. God is usually referred to in Scientology in a very ambiguous and general way. He is called, quote, the supreme being, end quote, but very little is spoken about God. Each person in Scientology is sort of left to discover God for themselves. However, the more engrams that one gets rid of through the auditing process and the more levels of the operating Thetan process that one achieves, the closer one can come to being able to experience whatever or whoever God actually is to them, says Scientology. Yet experiencing God in a personal way is never the goal of Scientology. They rarely speak of God. They never say he created us in any form or that the earth was created by him, since matter is seen as a negative thing. They just sort of assume that God exists somehow, somewhere, and Thetans, or spirits, somehow and somewhere were created in some way, and that's what we have to deal with in this life. So the goal in this life, then, is to survive and to get better so our future lives will be better. God has very little, if anything, to do with that process. In fact, Scientology claims that what they teach is never in conflict with any religion and that one never converts to Scientology. Rather, Scientologists will tell you that Scientology is a method by which any person of any religion can grow and get better. As I've said before in these seminars, when I have a question about something that a particular religion teaches, I usually try to call up the main offices of that religion and talk to somebody high up in the leadership to get my questions answered. And in this case, I did the same thing. I felt that their statement that Scientology is never in conflict with any other religion was a bit off, so I called the New York office to talk to a person there, and I explained to her that it seems to me that one could argue that a whole lot of things never dovetail with Christianity, like their view of God. Christianity says that God created the earth. Christianity says that our earth and our lives are good things. Our bodies are a good thing, and they will one day be fully redeemed. They look at it very differently. They see matter as a negative thing. So I asked her about that, and I said, you know, it seems to me that Scientology is in a position where they say that nothing that they teach conflicts with anything else, but in fact, it does conflict with Christianity, and I gave her examples like when Christianity says that God is the creator of the world. Well, they would say that matter and the earth is a negative thing, and yet God says that when he created the world, it was a good thing. So there's a conflict right there, and I listed a number of other ones, and she agreed that it does seem to be a problem. And Scientology says that they are never in conflict with other religions, but in fact, they really are when you look at it more closely. Another issue that can be brought up in that same genre is that Scientology says that human beings are basically good. Well, Christianity teaches that we are fallen creatures, that we are sinners, and we have to be redeemed. Scientology would disagree with that completely, and so we see another area where there is a disagreement between what Scientology teaches and what Christianity teaches. One could also argue a whole lot of other things as well that never dovetail with Christianity, like their view of Christ, creation, salvation, etc. Let's take a look at sin. In Scientology, there is no fall into sin. The Thetans just fell away from and forgot their pure state of being a static or an ultimate truth, and as a result became selfish, and all the engrams started happening to them, and they became trapped by the very physical universe and bodies that they are in now. They are really trapped spirits who should be free. There really is nothing that would be called sin in this particular religion. With regard to creation, for Scientology, there is no creation by God, as Christians would describe it. What we see as people are simply the result of Thetans falling away from their original state of static or ultimate truth. People, or Thetans, who are ignorant of the facts of Scientology, simply feel they are a person, as opposed to a spirit trapped in a body from which they have to get free. When it comes to salvation, For the Scientologists, salvation is getting free from the limitations of matter, energy, space, and time in their bodies, and realizing again that they indeed are a pure spirit or thetan. The goal is to realize one's true nature as an immortal thetan or spirit. As I said before, this happens by going through ever-increasing levels of awareness, such as pre-clear, clear, and then the at least 8 levels of being an operating thetan. Through this process, they're set free from the limitations of this world. Well, in Christianity, of course, we have to be saved from our sins. Christ came to save us. He went to the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins as the perfect Lamb of God. None of that is acknowledged in Scientology. Jesus is never acknowledged as the Savior of the world. The resurrection is something that would be seen as a false story, and there are major breaks between Scientology and Christianity along those lines. So when you look at it, Christianity is really very different than Scientology, and Scientology is at odds with Christianity over some of the most basic things, like the existence of God, Jesus Christ as his Son and Savior, the Holy Spirit being real, the fall of creation into sin from which Christ did come to save us, the crucifixion that saved our souls, the resurrection which proved that Christ was the Messiah and can save us eternally. All those things are rejected by Scientology. Let's look at some of the things that the Church of Scientology offers in the way of courses to try and make a person better. They teach numerous courses, and they teach as fact in those courses things they say that they have discovered in Scientology. A number of courses are free, but the really serious ones, the ones that move you through the 8 levels of being an operating thetan after you have become a clear, cost serious money. The free ones offer a lot of practical advice that anybody could use, advice on living and getting your life more organized and how to set and achieve goals. These courses also promise that you'll be able to better read people and better able to anticipate how people will act and react in various situations with you that you might face at work or in your personal relationships. Therefore, your life through Scientology will become much better and much more successful in all areas if you follow the courses that they prescribe. Their motto as a church is this, quote, making the able more able, end quote. In their courses, they use the phrase, quote, it was discovered in Scientology, end quote, and then they go on to state whatever it is they say Scientology discovered as a fact. For instance, one of their free courses online is a course on how to better work at communicating with others. It deals with issues and conflicts between people and how to overcome them. In the video, it clearly states the following as a fact, quote, in Scientology, it was discovered that there is a fundamental and natural law of human relations which explains the real underlying cause of all human conflicts. The previously unknown law would seem to be this: a third party must be present and unknown in every quarrel for a conflict to exist. End quote. So what they're saying that Scientology has discovered is that if two people are having a conflict, it is absolutely a fact that there must be a third person involved somewhere feeding that conflict, causing that conflict, being a part of that conflict without the others being aware of it or whatever. But a third party has to be involved in every single conflict between two people. That is a statement that they make as a fact. However, that of course seems to me to be blatantly false. It seems to me two people can indeed disagree over certain things without a third person being involved at all. Yet Scientology would say that that is impossible, and that whenever two people are in conflict, you have to search out and find the third party that is feeding and fueling this particular conflict. Once you do that, you can start to work out the situation. In another video, they state that, quote, until now, end quote, there was little a couple could do to fix a marriage. That's a pretty big statement. They are saying that they have discovered that until now, that is, until Scientology has taken a look at it, there really was little that a couple could do to fix a marriage. They maintain that correct communication is what can and should solve any problem. So if the problem continues to exist in a marriage, the key to that is communication. And until they are communicating properly, the problem will continue. Once they learn to communicate effectively to each other, the problem will be solved. Well, there is some reality to that. When people communicate well, problems are kept at a minimum. When problems do arise, proper communication can solve them. However, there are times when people communicate completely clearly something to another person, and that other person simply denies it or rejects it or chooses to ignore it, and the problem is still the problem. If Scientology is correct, Jesus would have to be said to be a poor communicator, since obviously if he'd done a better job of communicating, he would have never seen people misunderstand him, and therefore he would have never been crucified by them. In still another course, they share that all difficulties and failures come from confusion. They go on to state that confusion is, quote, random motion, end quote. I couldn't find that definition of confusion in any dictionary I consulted, but they hold to it. They then go on to state that confusions are made up of data or factors or parts. They use the illustration of a dispatcher working on a switchboard, getting numerous calls at the same time. All those numerous calls are what they call confusion. Numerous things are vying for your attention and causing confusion. So what they say is that if you are a dispatcher with 15 different calls lighting up the switchboard at the same time, what you have to do is you have to pick a stable datum, as they call it. In other words, you pick one line that's lighting up, you answer that, you deal with that, and all the rest of them will come into line. So basically what they're saying is if you have a communication problem with somebody, you find a stable datum, as they call it. You work on that, and when you work on something that's stable, the rest of the problem will come around and solve itself. That sounds nice, but the practicality of it is something that seems to fail to work in most circumstances. It takes a little bit more than just finding a particular thing to work on. You've got to work on the whole picture and the whole package. And yes, you have to communicate well, but you have to do it in a way that is biblical, if it is a Christian situation, and in a way that uses the Bible as the moral compass to lead you out of problems into solutions. The Church of Scientology teaches that any goal can be achieved with the right plan and the right facts. If you just work on your communication skills, you will find your life clearing up very quickly. You will be able to much better manage your life and manage the circumstances that other people put you in, and even anticipate the things that will be coming from other people before they come, so you will be much more able to handle them. Again, what Scientology is teaching is that a person who has problems with somebody else has those problems because they are failing to communicate correctly the right things to that other person. As I said before, if that were the case, Jesus would be a poor communicator. According to the Christian faith, Jesus was perfect. He never made a mistake. He never sinned. Anything that he communicated perfectly to other people. Yet many people rejected him. Many people failed to comprehend what he had to say. And that was never his fault. So Scientology's theory here seems to break down in the practical side of things. The Church of Scientology has two main symbols. The first is an eight-pointed cross. The second is a symbol made up of two equilateral triangles which lay on each other, and holding them together, intertwined with them, is a large letter S. The top triangle has three points, of course, and each point stands for something. It's called the KRC triangle. The K is for knowledge, the R is for responsibility, and the C is for control. The bottom triangle is the ARC triangle. The A is for affinity, The R is for reality, and the C is for communication. The big S that holds the two triangles together has nothing to do with Scientology or the name Scientology. It has to do with the Latin word scio, which is the first person singular of the infinitive to know, and it means I know. And that is central to Scientology. Learning all one can about oneself will eventually get you free from all the engrams, get you to a state of clear, and then move you on through the eight levels of being an operating Thetan so that you can get back to the original state of being a static. The eight-pointed cross represents the eight dynamics of the church teachings. It has absolutely nothing to do with the cross of Jesus Christ. The next subject that we're going to cover in this class is perhaps one of the biggest controversies that exists both in and outside the Church of Scientology. It is normally called the Xenu story. That is X-E-N-U, sometimes spelled X-E-M-U, but pronounced Xenu. Many people in the church have testified to the fact that this story is taught at operating Thetan level 3, and it is taught as fact, as doctrine of the church, as having actually taken place at one time in history. In 1981, the Clearwater Sun of Clearwater, Florida, in August of that year, printed an article that detailed this story for anybody to read. They researched the whole thing and put it out in this article, and that article is, of course, available online if you would like to read it. The setting is 75 million years ago when a ruler named Xenu ruled a galactic confederation of planets which included the Earth. He concluded that the planets were greatly overpopulated. He determined to take action to solve that problem. And in special materials that they read in Operating Thetan Level Number 3, people are told the following story. Quote, "Finally, Xenu decided to take measures to overcome the population problem. The planet Earth was designed as a place for executions. Beings were captured on other planets as well as on this planet and flown to locations near 10 volcanoes or more on Earth. H-bombs, far more powerful than any in existence today, were dropped on the volcanoes, destroying the bodies of the beings who, as Thetans, attached themselves to one another in clusters." End quote. So according to this story, there was an overpopulation problem in the Confederation, and Xenu determined that he was going to execute a number of people, and he captured them and brought them here and exploded these hydrogen bombs to execute them. However, he only destroyed their bodies. Their spirits were still alive and began to cluster together. These Thetans were actually captured and put through a large time of torture and things of that sort, and therefore they became messed up. They became bad Thetans, which clustered together and then attached themselves to human beings like us. So in addition to the engrams that we have to get rid of in this life, we also have to find out how to get rid of these clusters of bad Thetans that are attached to our beings and that cause us all kinds of confusion and difficulty making the right choices. Quoting the article again, we read these words, quote, "These clusters concluded they were one. Since that time, all of us have had on our bodies or in our psychic spaces clusters of up to 1,000 beings acting as if they were one being, but all with different goals and purposes. This is what makes us so confused and keeps us from achieving our own purposes." Scientology teaches that the OT or Operating Thetan 3 course can disperse the Thetan clusters as well as the frightening mental images that were implanted in the Thetans after the explosion. These images included God, the devil, spinning dancers, auto accident, trains, the crucifixion, psychiatrist, doctors dismembering bodies, and feelings of nausea, sickness, and spinning sensation. End quote. The course packet gives explicit instructions on how to audit these extra or bad Thetans and images out of your life. Auditing is performed by a Scientology auditor or counselor using the Hubbard e-meter that we talked about previously. To quote Hubbard, he says that doing this kind of auditing is, quote, the road to returned personal power in the physical universe, end quote. That's what he says about operating Thetan Course Level 3. In 1980, the cost of that course was $9,021.78, and of course, we assume that the prices have risen since then. But at that point, a Scientologist could receive the entire set of courses from Operating Thetan Course 1 all the way through Course 8 as a package for a bargain rate of $26,614.42. This number is according to the official donation list of that year of 1980. The issue of this Xenu story has been seen by many as secret material which the church holds to as doctrine and teaches in this level 3 of being an operating Thetan, but teaches only fully in level 8. Former members have stated as such and stated that they were taught it as a fact. The church has actually sued to keep this material from becoming public, but they lost the lawsuit. This material clearly introduces the added dimension of bad Thetans, how they came into being, and how they managed to attach themselves to good Thetans like you and me. So therefore, through Scientology, we must rid ourselves of both the engrams that have happened to us along the way and the bad Thetans that have attached to us over our past and present lives. A man named Tommy Davis is a senior Scientologist staff member. In March 2009, Davis was interviewed by investigative journalist Nathan Baca for KEST-TV in Palm Springs, California, and was asked about the Operating Thetan Level 3 texts or courses. Davis told Baca, quote, I'm familiar with the material, end quote, and called it, quote, the confidential scriptures of the church, end quote. So this Xenu story, which is taught in level 3 of how to become an operating Thetan, is called by Tommy Davis, quote, the confidential scriptures of the church, end quote. However, in an interview on ABC News Nightline on October 23rd, 2009, Davis walked off the set when Martin Bashir asked him about Xenu. He told Bashir, quote, Martin, I'm not going to discuss the disgusting perversions of Scientology beliefs that can be found now commonly on the internet and be put in the position of talking about things that are so fundamentally offensive to Scientologists to discuss. It is in violation of my religious beliefs to talk about them, end quote. When Bashir repeated a question about Xenu, Davis pulled off his microphone and left the set. All Davis had to do was answer the question being put to him about this story. Is this being taught as theology and doctrine of the church, or is it something that people have made up to make the church look foolish? What is it? He could say it was false and never used or upheld by Scientology, or he could say it was real and explain how it is used by Scientology. Instead, he walked off the set. Well, I was interested in this situation, and as I said before, when I have questions about certain things that I'm teaching on, especially other religions, I take the time to contact the upper-level staff in those religions to try and get some answers. I did the same thing with regard to this story of Xenu. I called the chaplain of the Los Angeles Church, which is a large church in the country, and I spoke with him about the Xenu story, and he told me what the official policy of the church was regarding this story. The official policy of the Church of Scientology on the issue of Xenu is that they simply don't discuss it. Some have said that this story is just a parable and that it was never supposed to be taken literally. It's just a parable to explain how bad thetans came into being and how they have to be dealt with in this life. However, if you listen to the actual original tape where Hubbard describes and teaches this as he's teaching it to a class back in 1968, it sounds very, very real. It really is of little consequence, though, how the church sees this story. The rest of what we've heard and shared about this religion clearly puts it far outside of anything remotely close to being called Christianity. There also seems to be a great danger in some of what they teach being used to control rather than serve people. If they are wrong about people being basically good, tools that allow them to manipulate and control people could be used in negative ways. However, they do consider it their responsibility as a church to make the world a better place, and they do a lot of community-type service to back up that position. They have drug rehabilitation programs and things that they feel will assist the community in which the church resides. According to the official website of the Church of Scientology, as of March 2014, they claim to have 11,000 churches, missions, and affiliated groups in 167 countries on the earth. They also claim to have millions of members. However, independent studies have declared that the numbers that the church claims are greatly over-exaggerated. This in part can be due to the fact that they claim as members even people who signed up for a one-time course and never came back. They have also claimed that they have translated materials into 183 languages, and they claim to have members from 3,200 different professions. The church has a rather long history of scandal and of former members accusing the church of various things from brutality to racism. In 1980, 11 top church leaders, including L. Ron Hubbard's wife, Mary Sue, were imprisoned for bugging and burglarizing government offices as part of a shadowy conspiracy called Project Snow White. This project was initiated by the church members to burglarize and bug these government offices to obtain information on their perceived enemies so that they could discredit them. Tax-exempt status was taken away from the church in 1967 and wasn't returned until 1993 after a two-year study of whether it should be granted at all. The spiritual center of the church is called FLAG, that's F-L-A-G, and it's located in Clearwater, Florida. Sea-Org, S-E-A-O-R-G, is located there, and that is the religious order of the church. Loyal members sign a billion-year contract to serve the church in all their future lives. Lots of things, including dress and a fleet of yachts, pick up on a nautical theme. Hubbard was a Navy man, and much of how things are done in leadership in this organization mimic military naval styles. Hubbard liked to be called the Commodore. However, he never saw such a high rank in his own naval career. There are many articles from the church extolling his brave and heroic type actions, including being wounded in action in World War II. However, the Navy, in their official records, say none of that ever happened. And if you are aware of what narcissism looks like, it seems to possibly be in play for Hubbard. Then there is the Church of Spiritual Technology, which is a highly secret inner department of Scientology, which is charged with preserving the writings and recordings of L. Ron Hubbard. Millions of dollars have been spent on developing large compounds where secret vaults have been built to house the writings, etc., in titanium cylinders made in such a way as to survive a nuclear holocaust. There is also a special L. Ron Hubbard house, which has been built with a special design carved into the ground near it, where it is said that L. Ron Hubbard's spirit will one day come back and inhabit a body and grow up until he can take over Scientology again. Yet one wonders why he'd have to come back and be trapped in a body all over again after discovering the very ways and techniques to avoid all that in his future lives. Perhaps he's just that kind of a nice guy, so he can lead others to a better life. There are also numerous interviews with former Scientologists who claim that the church has a prison-like fortress where people are sent and interrogated and spend months in labor camp settings to be punished for whatever they may have been found guilty of doing wrong. It's called the Rehabilitation Project Force. The church, of course, completely denies that it exists. Yet in 1986, a man named Lawrence Wollensheim won a multi-million-dollar judgment in court against the Church of Scientology. It was found that he was made to do various things of labor and punishment for 19 hours a day and was prevented physically from leaving when he tried to escape. Gary Moorhead is the former security chief for Scientology and has stated numerous times that such things do exist and were part of his job to make happen. The church also has something called the Church of Scientology Celebrity Center, which caters to famous and rich people who they are courting or who already have become members. However, many of the star members of the Church of Scientology have recently left the church, claiming that it's a ripoff and that they were completely deceived by its practices. Such people include Katie Holmes, Nicole Kidman, Lisa Marie Presley, and Leah Remini. These people took a look at what was happening and saw that their family was being degraded and invaded by the Church of Scientology, and they left the church as a result. For leaving the church, they have also received a tremendous amount of negative press from the church. The church considers them traitors, and the church will tell anybody who will listen that they are some of those people who are suppressors in life and must be dealt with accordingly. The current leader of the Church of Scientology is David Miscavige. That is spelled Miscavige. He has been in charge since 1986. He was born in Philadelphia in 1960. As a child, he had asthma and severe allergies. His father became interested in Scientology and sent David to a Scientologist who he claims healed David by using the techniques of Dianetics. The family joined the church, and with his father's permission, David dropped out of high school at the age of 16 to join the Sea Org, or Sea Organization, which, as I said previously, is Scientology's religious order centered in Clearwater, Florida. Hubbard appointed him to the Commander's Messenger Organization, or the CMO, which was the organization responsible for enforcing Hubbard's policies throughout the church. It took a little while for him to get to that level, but once he did, he became Hubbard's personal protege and a man that would eventually be trusted with taking over the helm of the organization. Miscavige became the leader of the CMO in 1979 at the age of only 19. He worked his way up from there to become Hubbard's personal disciple and in line for taking over the church's top spot, which he did in 1986 at the age of 26. He is said to be a very tough and ruthless leader. Again, we might be dealing with narcissism in the case of Mr. Miscavige. In 1991, a Time magazine article called him the, quote, ringleader, end quote, of a, quote, hugely profitable global racket that survives by intimidating members and critics in a mafia-like manner, end quote. In an article in 1998, the St. Petersburg Times said, quote, He is to Scientologists what the Pope is to Catholics, end quote. If you would like to read more about this side of the issue, the St. Petersburg Times has done investigative reporting on the subject, and it's available on their website. There is also a recent article in the Daily Mail from England that you can read if you like. Numerous former Scientologists have commented on how and why they left the church and why they felt it was a scam and a ripoff. And you can go ahead and find those people and their stories online as well. L. Ron Hubbard's own son has also come out and said that the whole church is a business and a scam. He even claims that Hubbard worked with transporting drugs into the United States and basically made the whole religion up as he went along. Scientology is a religion that was invented by a man named L. Ron Hubbard, and it has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with anything that can be considered classical Christianity, and it should never be seen as a Christian church. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to share in this seminar, and there are other seminars like it that are available at the same place that you were able to get this seminar. There are 4 other seminars that deal with other religions of the world and how they compare to Christianity, so I would suggest that if you have the time, you might also listen to those. May the Lord bless you and continue to show you His great and wonderful love.